Right. As a matter of fact, every one of you in this congregation, including myself, are living beneath our birthright. Now, what's a birthright? Well, a birthright says that you are entitled to something. A few weeks ago, there came by our house seven little puppies by way of Robin's Lady Tasha and Kenny's Prince Jawa. These are Lhasa Apso dogs. So when we discovered that she was going to have a little family, we called the vet, and Dr. Cheney said, well, the chances are she'll have three, maybe four. So Robin gets the manual of the Lhasa Apsos out, and it says they will have one, maybe two. Well, she had five, and so we rejoice over five puppies. We did not rejoice over the fact that they were born in our bedroom, but we had to leave them there the first night. The next morning, one of the children was taking them out to transfer them to a better place, and when they got to five, they found another one. And one of the children, whichever one it was, said, didn't you say we had five, Mom? Sure, we have five puppies. Well, here's five, and here's six, and here's seven, and there were seven puppies. Well, these seven Lhasa Apso dogs had been born with a birthright, pedigreed papers. They are very special. They have got the papers, and it's, I guess if I was a dog, I would say, I'm so happy I've got the papers. It's the birthright. I have an inheritance. That's what the birthright means to the Lhasa Apso family. They've got an inheritance. Now, as Christian people, we too have an inheritance. We call it the birthright. Unfortunately, we live beneath our birthright often, and I think this is why the scripture says in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now, have you ever heard of the Great Commission? Just anyone? Then why don't we turn to it, if you will. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. 16 and 17. It's page 74 in the New Testament, in the Pew Bibles. Now, the Great Commission was given to a group of people called, and tell me, who were they? Don't be bashful. Who were the group of people that he gave the Great Commission to? Disciples. Okay. Now, is it possibly true that any one of you might be a disciple of Jesus? Anybody here a disciple of Jesus? A lot of heads being shook. Okay. If you are a Christian, then if you've given your faith to Jesus, you are a disciple. So, we pick up what he is saying. He appears to the disciples. And it says in verse 15, go throughout the whole world and preach the gospel to all mankind. Okay, we accept that pretty much. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Well, we question that by saying you don't have to be baptized to be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. We accept that pretty much. If you don't believe in Jesus, you will be condemned. Believers, disciples, will be given the power to perform miracles. They will drive out demons in my name. They will speak in strange tongues. If they pick up snakes or drink any poison, they will not be harmed. They will place their hands on sick people, and these will get well. Now, I know there's a whole can of worms in these two verses, and I wouldn't even attempt to start and end, but I would like to pull one verse out that we sometimes disbelieve. But before I do that, not to know who you are, but so that you can respond, do you believe you are a disciple, and do you believe that you have been given personally by faith in Jesus the Great Commission? If you believe this, just lift your hand and put it back down. Not to know who you are, but so something will happen to you. You see, it's like signing your name on a dotted line. I believe that the Lord has given me the Great Commission. The thing that we pick up this morning is that believers, that includes you, will be given the power to perform miracles. Now, they're not performing miracles by their own ability, but they are doing it by the power of God, because Jesus said in the other commission listed in Matthew that the power, the authority is given to the disciple, which we are. Now it says here they'll be given the power, that is the power of God. They will drive out demons in my name. If you are a believer, then you've got the power to drive out the demon that is in you according to the authority of the scripture. But the obvious reason that it's not done and that there's no deliverance is that there's no belief in this. I want to show to you this morning some verses of scripture. I do not want to speak from experience. I want to speak from the Word of God. I want you to be as open to the moving of the Holy Spirit as we entered when the choir sang, "Open my eyes. Open my eyes." Because for many, many years, my eyes were closed. And I could not see a lot of these things because I had been told that it's not possible and it's not right. But as I came to study the Word of God, what I discovered had happened was that there were some people who had tore out a page in their theology. And they went over, a little farther over in Acts, and they tore out this page. And so what they had left was something that fitted their neat theology perspective. The scripture says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, and you've just got to believe this, because it says, "We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with wicked spirits." We wrestle with wicked spirits. I guess the problem with that one individual whom I spoke to not too long ago was he didn't believe that. He said, "I just have a hard time coming to grips with the fact that I am wrestling against an evil spirit." Why? "Oh, because I've got the Spirit of Jesus in me." So did Paul. So did Peter. And yet they wrote a lot about they were in a warfare. They're fighting the evil spirits. Do you know who the God of this world is? It's not Jesus. It's not Jehovah God. It says here that the God of this world is Satan. Now, I just didn't make that up to fit my sermon. It says here that the God of the world, he is called by 40 titles or more, one of which is he is the God of this world. He is a spirit. And Jesus says, "In my name you will cast out devils." Paul, Jesus, many others savagely attacked for their pursuance of this deliverance ministry. And I think we need to change our attitudes. A guy called me Saturday morning when I was changing the tape on my discouraged line here before going to the funeral. And he said, "You know what we need to do, Pastor Carlson? We need to change the attitudes in King City about," and he listed a problem that's in our city. And so some people from Selenusville are going to come down to South County and try to help us as citizens change our attitudes about a particular problem of which he mentioned. The same thing here. We need to change our attitude about why we do what we do. Now, have any one of you done anything wrong in your whole life? Lift your hand. If in your whole life you did one thing wrong. Mary, your hand up? Oh, I don't see. Oh, your kids back there, did you get your hands up? Okay, why did you do something wrong? I propose to you there are two reasons why I do things wrong. Two things why Paul did things wrong. He was the chief of the sinners. He didn't know me. He said he was the chief. There are two reasons why we do things wrong. The first is our sin nature, because we've got a sin nature. Now, you can say you don't have a sin nature, but you do. You've got a sin nature. Darn Adam and Eve, why they did what they did. They gave it to us. We got the sin nature. And the Lhasa Apso's got the sin nature. And their children are going to have the sin nature. It's going to pass on and on and on from one generation to another because of Mr. Adam and Mrs. Eve. The sin nature. Because one man sinned, all men will die. Because one man lives and experienced the resurrection, all men will experience a resurrection in Christ Jesus. There are two things that make a person act bad. Well, let's make it very personal. There are two things that made me do some bad things last week. The first is my sin nature. The second is the evil spirit. Now, the evil nature is that part of me that I'm going to have until the day I die. There is no way that I can get rid of my sin nature because I'm a sinner. There's no way you can get out of your sin nature experience because you're there. The second reason we do things wrong is because, not of the evil nature, but because of the evil spirit. Have you ever heard that expression, "I don't know what got into you"? Maybe you've even said it. I know what got into you. I know what got into that person. I know what's gotten into me. And we don't like to say it because it takes humility to say that, you know, you've got a devil, you've got a demon, you've got an angel of darkness, you name it. I like that angel of darkness. It sort of tones it down a little bit. But it's the very same thing in the Word of God. When God created the angels, He made a whole lot of them. How many thousand can stand on the head of a pin? How many angels are there? We don't know. But we do know this, that one third of all the angels that were made by God rebelled. Now, if He's got 3 million angels, 3 quadrillion angels, one third rebelled, were cast out, and following Lucifer, following Satan, following the great dragon, whatever you want to call him, are evil spirits. They are referred to as spirits, but they are angels, and they need bodies to be embodied. God's got His angels, Lucifer's got His angels. We got the angels of light, we got the angels of darkness. And these angels of darkness are bombarding us at a tremendous rate, trying to get into us and make us do things that we don't want to do. Now, to back up a moment, I believe, and it's a very fine line, I'll have to admit, that there are two reasons why we do things wrong. The sin nature, that is, the evil nature, and the evil spirit. If what I have done this past week is predicated upon my evil nature, then 1 John 1:9 takes care of it, very simply, which says, if we confess our sin, then He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if I do an act that is wrong and it's contrary to the Word of God, and I say, "Lord, You have convicted me of this, I confess my sin, forgive me of my sin," then I claim the promise from the Word of God that the blood of Jesus will cleanse me from all of my sin. However, if what I have done has been because, not of my evil nature, but because of that evil spirit that has come into my life, then no amount of claiming 1 John 1:9 will do any good. Because what has happened is, it's got to get out of me. Now, the realm of demonic power in just you who are gathered here this morning can be listed in 6 areas. How do I know? I know because of counsel, I know because of human nature, and I just know because God has told me so, if nothing else. I have an evil spirit in me, and you have evil spirits in you as well. And they have to come, and there are many more, but I've listed 6 because I know it's right where we are. Number 1, emotional problems are caused by an evil spirit. Number 2, mental problems are caused by evil spirits. 3, speech problems are caused by evil spirits. 4, sex problems are caused by evil spirits. And 5, addictions are caused by evil spirits. And 6, physical infirmities are caused by evil spirits. Just to give you one example, and I guess I should say this, but first you must hear me carefully. I didn't want to say this, but I feel I should because I'm being misquoted. Hear me clearly. Are we all awake and alive, got all ears listening? I don't smoke because I just don't want to smoke. It's bad for me. You who smoke in here, it's fine. I am not condemning smoking. Do you hear me clearly? So don't go out and say that I preached against everybody who smokes. I have known some beautiful pastors who smoked. So that's beside the point. What I want to say is, I refer to two people who smoke, one of which you might know, who wanted to stop. Both wanted to stop. One has stopped and one has not stopped. The person who has stopped recognized that the addiction to this particular problem, and when I say addiction, it can be a thousand different things that we are addicted to. Bear that in mind as well. But the smoking is obvious and could be seen so clearly in this experience. When this person prayed, God, forgive me of smoking, 1 John 1:9, I know it's wrong. He just kept on like a stack, smoke stack, kept on smoking. It didn't do a bit of good. But when he came to realize the fact that he was smoking because of not the evil nature, but because of an evil spirit, then he privately, on his own, as did the Bible give us permission to do, cast that demon of addiction out of his body. And in the name of Jesus, the demon has to leave. And he does not smoke. He had tried everything he could possibly try. It never worked. He had tried prayer. It never worked. And counseling and 10 ways to stop and other things as a substitute for. Never got relief. But when he decided that, and it was revealed to him, open my eyes that I may see that there was that evil spirit causing this, the spirit of addiction, he cast it out and it was free. So what I say is that what we do wrong is due to our evil nature or to this evil spirit that's in us. Now you're saying, are you telling me this morning, Pastor, that I have got, that I'm full of the devil? Are you telling me that? No. But I'm telling you I am. I'm telling you that I am a person who has recognized that in me there are things that need to be changed, that can only be changed as I ask you to help me cast them out. And the same with you. It goes back to honesty, which a lot of us have a hard time in dealing with. It also has to do with humility, which is even harder. And if you want another bad word, it's pride that gets in our way a lot. That's why it's number one sin killer. So if it's true that I have it, how did you get it, Pastor? How did you get that spirit, you know? And if you acknowledge this morning that you might have a spirit of evil in you, how did you get it? You didn't go to the post office and open up and say, come on in, Mr. Spirit, come in. No, no, no. It wouldn't come in to begin with because we wouldn't invite the Spirit in, because who among us would want something wrong in our life? We want Jesus, we say, as we sung, fill me and use me and bless me. Well, let me tell you, if you happen to want to know, how these demons get in a person. Use me and bless me. Well, let me tell you, if you happen to want to know, how these demons get in a person. Anybody want to know? They get in a person, the classical example is through sin, or through an open door. And I guess, depending upon who is speaking or talking to you, they would say different things. I believe it could be narrowed down to two different areas, through sin and through an open door. When we sin, we are allowing these demonic spirits to come into our life. When we open the door, we allow them to come in. Now, I said a moment ago, who among us would open the door? None of us. So, they come in, not only disguised, but when you least know it. And they come in through some beautiful things. And what they do is when they get in, they torment us. One of the classic examples in the Word of God is the failure to forgive. If you do not forgive, not only does the guidebook say God will not forgive you, but it says you will be handed over to the tormentors. Now, what does an evil spirit do? Torment. So if there's unforgiveness in our life, we've got to confess it and get it out, because according to Matthew 18, the unjust parable of the unjust steward, we are going to be thrown to the tormentors. And so this is really, really important. Another scripture I'd like for us to turn to is 2 Corinthians 2, 9 through 11, in regard to this, page 240. It's important that you underline it, or at least put it in your memory bank. 2 Corinthians 2, 9 through 11 is something that happens to a person, and when it happens, the spirit, the demon, the angel of darkness of this spirit enters in. And here's what we read. In fact, why don't we read it together if you're using the Pew Bibles? 2 Corinthians 2, verse 9 through 11. I wrote you that letter because I wanted to find out how well you had stood the test and whether you were always ready to obey my instructions. When you forgive someone for what he has done, I forgive him too. For when I forgive, if indeed I need to forgive anything, I do it in Christ's presence because of you. Verse 11. In order that Satan from gaping the upper hand over us, for we know what his plans are. We forgive because it says here, if you don't, you got a problem. And the problem is Satan. In order to keep Satan from getting the upper hand over us. You see, we are fighting a warfare. We're in a battle. But so many Christians don't understand that we're in the battle. He'll get into our life through circumstances, relationships, and through inheritance. A young person was having all kind of problems, needed help, was not getting help by the pastor praying for him and others of the church. Seemed to be getting worse and worse and worse. Did not understand why he wasn't being delivered from his problem. And finally, in the course of conversation, it was discovered that he had some incense that he was burning in his house. Now, there's nothing wrong with incense, basically. But when he went up to his upstairs bedroom, he took the incense package and opened it, and on the bottom it said, "Made in Virginia by devotees of Hare Krishna." He took that, disposed of it, threw it away, claimed the blood of Jesus, and instantly received a healing from his problem. What he had done, by using that incense made by that occult group, he had invited the spirits into his being. And I'll tell you something else that's attacking a lot of Christian people, and it was happening in our church for a long time until our eyes were open. And that is the use of the zodiac signs and the astrology signs. And many of you may still have some in your home. Let me tell you, as your pastor, I love you enough to be criticized to say, you go home today and you destroy those zodiac signs. You destroy those things that are used by the occult. Because Satan uses these in inroads. They're on pillowcases, bedspreads, they're on drinking glasses, silverware, napkins, and pictures, and jewelry. The list is endless, and you know if you have any or not. A lady told me that she did this some time ago, and she has never felt such a relief, because she wore around her neck her zodiac sign, which was strangling her spiritually. And she took it off. She even threw the chain away because it was connected. And it was a valuable chain, she said, too. I had to come to grips with the fact, who do I love more? What do I value more? Jesus and his teaching, which she was convicted of, or this very, very expensive necklace. These are ways whereby these spirits get into us. I'll go a step farther and mention frogs and owls. The scripture says that do not bring any accursed thing into your home, or the same curse will be on you. Frogs and owls are used by witches all around the world today. And if you have one in your home, I'd say get rid of it. Went out to my backyard. I spent hours making a beautiful frog about 6 years ago out of ceramics. Had a whole frog family, in fact. Last year or two, the little frogs got broken. And that made me very upset. Imagine me being upset because a little frog was broken. And so this past week, I went out and I destroyed the whole frog family made out of ceramics. And yes, I feel good about it because I know that it could, not that it was or that it would have been, but I know that it is used by the occult. Now, we need deliverance from these things, from the evil spirits that come in. Now, let me back up just to say, the evil spirits we have come into us by two reasons, two ways: sin and by opening a door. Now, how do you get rid of them? Well, the God book tells us very clearly. It says we get away them away by the power of the blood of Jesus in the commanding of him to leave. And I say him because, do you know demons talk? Okay. Our own understanding of it, which I'm faithful to the word of the Lord in telling you this morning, and secondly, are willing to collaborate with somebody to be delivered. There are demons today of heart trouble. There are demons that come into people and give them lung trouble, give them arthritis, throat trouble, jealousy, the demon of hatred, the demon of anger. The demon of anger I had to deal with and am still dealing with. The demon of self-pity, the demon of murder, the demon of suicide tendencies, yes, the demon of smoking and drinking, and unlawful sex acts and drugs. You can get permanent deliverance from all of these by either you doing it or somebody else commanding them out of your body. Now, the longer a demon is in me, the harder it's going to be to get out. They have entrenched themselves, and so it takes time. One thing you can do in the name of Jesus, if you know you have one of these problems that we mentioned, is to, in the name of Jesus, bind, according to the Word of God, the principle of binding and loosening, you can bind that spirit, and that spirit will have no more control over you. If in the name of Jesus you take your authority as a disciple and bind that spirit, later it can be released. I think it's good that when we take baths and we take showers that we clean ourselves spiritually and we go through the day or whatever period of time and we confess these sins, we exorcise these spirits out of us. There are roots of infirmity that cause illness, which was sin originated. But there are many ailments today that are on us, ranging from minor to severe, because of evil forces. And you can believe the word of God when Paul says we are wrestling against the evil forces that are coming into our body, trying to destroy us. And so Luke 4:18 reads like this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has chosen me to bring good news to the poor, to send me to proclaim liberty to the captives. Liberty to the captives. 2 Timothy 2, verse 25 and verse 26. Gentle, as he corrects his opponents, for it may be that God will give them the opportunity to repent and come to know the truth, and then they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who had caught them and made them obey his will. People do things today that they don't want to do because of this evil spirit that's in them. We need to seek the reality. As we conclude, we need to remember this. Drop our theological pretense, admit our powerlessness, and seek the reality that is our birthright. We are a spirit-controlled people. I repeat, we are a spirit-controlled people. Everything you have done this morning has been by spirit control, the good for the good and the bad for the bad. And so Paul says, in order to set us free, now we're talking about preaching to us who are captives, in order to set us free from this present evil age, we're living in an evil age. We can't close our eyes and say that sin doesn't exist, that everything is rosy, when it's not rosy. It's like the prophets who were condemned because they said, peace, 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 when there was no peace. He set us free from the present evil age. Christ gave himself for our sins in obedience to the will of God the Father. I have to tell you this. Let me read it to you. Genesis chapter 3, verse 14. You know the story, but if I read it, you know that it's right here from the Word of God. The Lord said to the snake, "You will be punished for this." You know what he's talking about. "You alone of all the animals must bear the curse." You know what he's talking about. "From now on, you will crawl on your belly, and you will have to eat dust as long as you live." You believe that? That's what it says. Snakes don't eat dust, do they? It says here, "You'll have to eat dust." What does that mean? Is there a mistake in the Word of God here? It says he will be made to eat dust. Well, if I look down in verse 19, I find words to Adam and Eve by God. "You will have to work hard. You'll have to sweat to make the soil produce anything until you go back to the dust from which you came. You were made from the dust, and you will become dust again." I think it speaks very eloquently that Satan, depicted as a snake, is eating the dust. And who is he eating but you and me? Because we are the dust. Now my text is Galatians 1:10. And it's for me, because I had to wrestle with what I'm saying this morning to you. Galatians 1:10 reads like this. Does this sound like what I have preached this morning, that I am trying to win man's approval? No, indeed. What I want is God's approval. Paul writes, "Am I trying to be popular with men? If I were still trying to do so, I would not be a servant of Christ." Does this sound this morning, what I have spoken to you about demon possession, that I'm trying to win men's approval? No, I want God's approval. And if I'm trying to be popular with men, if I were still trying to do so, I'd not be the servant of Christ. For he has told unmistakably this day that we hear this. And may our eyes be opened as we bow and pray. Would you stand, please? Our Father, I claim the promise of the prayer prayed before the service, that the Word of God would fall upon our ears, fall into our soil, edify us, and in turn, ultimately, bless us as a people of God who are indeed living beneath their birthright, living in captivity because we've been there so long, what's the use of getting out? Or because we didn't know there was a way out. I praise you that Jesus has come to set us free, to be free indeed, and the truth will make us free. I thank you, Lord, that Jesus, with his power, with his blood, is in each one of us who have accepted him as our Savior. And I thank you that the Great Commission is for us as well, to go. And among the things that we are to do, that we have always thought about and possibly not done, is the one little statement, cast out the devils, cast out the demons, cast out the evil negative spirits. Thank you for showing us how. In Jesus' name, amen.